Hi, gang. Bob Boving here to welcome you to the Mystery Project. Today, we're ready to complete David Ellis's Find the Lady. It's been a twisted journey for Andrew Marsh, from police suspicion through murder, blackmail, frame-up, and kidnapping, to what may well be his dying moments as he comes face-to-face with his persecutors. But where there's life, there's hope. And if Roger Sherwin can come back from the dead, Andrew thinks he might be able to work the same trick. The conclusion of Find the Lady, in which Andrew gets all the answers, but may just lose his life or his mind.
What happens when I've met your other associate?
I'm afraid we'll have to say goodbye to each other, old man.
Do you intend to pull the trigger yourself?
Unfortunately, yes. Recent experience has taught me that if one wants a job done properly, etc., etc. How would you like to spend your last 5 minutes?
Getting that gun away from you.
I'm sure you would. And in lieu of that?
I'd like to see Joyce.
I'll consider it. While I'm doing so, there must be some other question you're, forgive me, old man, dying to know the answer to. The least I can do for a friend is satisfy his curiosity.
You're very considerate.
Not really. You see, there's one disadvantage to an idea like the Excelsior Club. It happens to be illegal. Therefore, one isn't at liberty to impress others with the brilliance of it. Unless, that is, one can find someone who will keep the idea to themselves. And in you, Andrew, I think I've found that someone.
Because the only person I'll be able to tell it to is the late Joey Driscoll?
Exactly.
Well, a lot can happen in 5 minutes.
4 and a quarter now. Don't you agree that the club was an inspiration of a mastermind?
A warped mind.
That will cost you 30 seconds.
Doesn't Peter Lloyd share the credit for the idea?
No. His sole contribution was the one thing I lacked, capital. Peter ran a club in the north somewhere. Before he met me, the sole extent of his criminal activities was watering the spirits in the bar of his club. But he'd no respect for the law. And when I offered him the opportunity to invest in the Excelsior Club, he couldn't get his checkbook out quickly enough.
Is he the sole shareholder?
Apart from the 5% that belongs to me.
What would he do if the police discovered that the Excelsior Club was a camouflage for a blackmail organization?
He'd swear he knew nothing about it. Unfortunately, he might get away with it. In that respect, he's shown more aptitude for taking care of himself than I would have thought possible. He's made sure there's no evidence to connect him with our extracurricular activities.
You've kept in the background as well. Sheila thought you were simply a member of the club.
Dear Sheila, she was very useful. I was sorry when she realized she had a conscience.
Peter Lloyd doesn't know about the dud checks, does he?
No. You shouldn't have mentioned Derek Brown, you know, Andrew. I shall have to think of a way to explain him to Peter.
I'd like to be here when you do it.
I dare say you would. I can't risk your interrupting. Sorry, old man.
Why were the checks necessary?
5% of the club doesn't pay big dividends. Not big enough, that is. And mine weren't the only expensive tastes I had to cater for.
A girlfriend?
An inadequate way to describe the lady. But it'll do.
Do I know her?
No, you don't, old man. Returning to Sheila, I was able to help her with her favorite hobby. She collected fivers, you know.
So she told me.
Consequently, she reciprocated by assisting me with my spare time occupation.
Collecting checkbooks.
They're far more rewarding than first edition.
Did you intend her to help herself to my checkbook?
Why do you think I introduced you to her? Because your lonely state aroused my sympathy.
I did think so at the time.
You don't now, though.
No. But what was your reason for involving me? I'm not thinking so much about the checks. If you were so desperate for money, mine were as good as anybody's. I'm talking about your death and the hit-and-run accident. Why did you have to steal my car?
Unfortunately, old man, you've left the really vital questions until it's too late for me to answer them. You've only 2.5 minutes left. And as I've decided to let you see your wife, your curiosity on those points will have to remain unsatisfied. For the moment, anyway. Open the door, Andrew. Thank you. Turn to the left and go up the stairs. Don't forget, I'm a respectful distance behind you, will you?
What's going to happen to Joyce?
That is a problem, isn't it? And the difficulty is, there are several solutions.
But they'd all have the same final effect, wouldn't they?
You mean she'd join you and Joey Driscoll? Not necessarily. To your right now, old man. There are other ways of making sure she'd be a traitor to her sex and keep her mouth shut.
Other ways?
Definitely. A woman can be degraded to such an extent that even the priests won't believe anything she tells them. Open that door.
It's locked.
Locked? Andrew, there's a phone on the wall behind you. Lift the receiver and press the third button, will you? Thank you. This is a compliment to your resourcefulness, you know, old man.
Asking me to use the phone?
Yes. With anyone else, I'd have done it myself. But with you, I think it's wise to concentrate on one thing at once.
Hello?
Is it Peter Lloyd?
Is that Peter Lloyd?
Yes. Who's that?
Tell him you're speaking for me. I want the key to the, guest room.
Mrs. Andrew Marsh, Roger wants the key of the guest room.
What the devil's he talking about?
What the devil are you talking about?
We should have done this act on television, old man. Tell Peter I'll explain later, but I want that key now.
Roger will explain later. He wants the key now.
I'm coming up.
Why haven't you got a key to that door, Roger?
Shall we say Peter knows that as well as money, women are a weakness of mine? Joyce might have been able to persuade me to release her. Is that a satisfactory answer?
It's a logical one.
One of the last things you'll learn, Andrew, is not to place too much faith in logic.
How did the man from the yard know it was Roger Sherwin?
Well, sir, when I knew the dead man was Jerry Driscoll, I got hold of a picture of Sherwin. I found it on his houseboat. I passed it on to the yard and asked him to keep a lookout for him. He's connected with the Excelsior Club. I thought he might turn up there, sir.
And you say he went in by a back entrance half an hour ago?
Yes, sir.
Inside of Andrew Marsh?
No, sir. He hasn't left the club. Alf Jenkins and Max Freeman are still there as well, sir.
Where are we now?
Tottenham Court Road, sir. A couple of minutes and we'll be at the Excelsior Club.
You're wasting time, Roger. He should have been a job for the undertaker by now.
I'll handle this my way, if you don't mind, Peter. Be a good fellow and unlock that door.
Next time I take a partner, I'll pick someone who isn't a damned show-off. Now, get this nonsense over.
You've no imagination, Peter. That's one of your deficiencies. After you, Andrew, old man.
Andrew!
Are you all right, Joyce?
Do you know, old man, I knew you'd say that. You really are too predictable.
Doesn't she look as though she's all right?
I'm sorry, Joyce. I know that sounds inadequate, but...
Oh, touching, isn't it? The blundering husband reunited with a martyred wife.
I'm staying to watch this.
Does that mean that you doubt my ability to handle the situation?
That's just what it means.
It sounds as though I was right. They do require you downstairs.
I'll be back in a minute.
I'd like to be alone with my wife, Roger.
I'd like several things that are equally impossible, old man.
Well, there's no way out of this room, except through that door.
Luck has been on your side so far, Andrew. It still could be.
Try and stall them. I'll be down. Roger, the police are in the club.
What do they want?
I'm damned if I know. But they've got a search warrant.
What are you waiting for? Get downstairs. Keep them occupied.
What about these two?
I'll dispose of them. Don't panic, old man. It's probably just a routine raid. Making sure the tables aren't fixed or something equally stupid.
Suppose it isn't just routine. Suppose they search the office and find all the files.
We'll need the most eloquent QC in the profession.
Oh, no. You'll need him. I'm getting out.
You're not, old man. You've had 95% of the profits. You can take the same share of the consequences as well.
Go to hell!
After you, old man!
You can't go through there, Sarge. It's private.
Now, don't be a fool, Elf. You've seen the warrant. I can go anywhere I like. Now get away from that door.
It's all right for you, Sarge, but I work for the club, see? If I let you go through that door, I'll get me flaming cards. And there's enough unemployed, ain't there?
You're trying to waste time, Alf. Why?
Me? Waste the time of the law? You're out of your tiny mind, Sarge. I'm just doing my job.
You'll be doing a stretch for obstruction if you don't get out of my way. Bates, keep an eye on this joker.
What's the hold-up, Percy?
Alf's giving me some back chat, sir. Any sign of Roger Sherwin or Andrew Marsh?
Not in any of the club rooms. Let's see what's on t'other side of that door.
Yes, sir.
It looks like the officers. What the hell?
Came from up the stairs, sir.
Well, then get up there, Percy.
Yes, sir.
And watch yourself. Get on me wick sometimes, but I wouldn't like to have to go to your funeral.
In here, Sergeant Rankin.
Who fired that shot?
I'll tell you when you've called an ambulance. Roger Sherwin's wounded.
All right, you phone for an ambulance, Percy.
Yes, sir.
And Percy, who's the woman?
It's Mrs. Marsh, sir.
Right. Mr. Marsh, I'm Detective Inspector Adams. Look as if you've been mixing it with someone.
Yes, with Roger here.
What do you do, try to run for it?
No.
He's been shot in the back. Mrs. Marsh, you'd better give me that gun. Thank you.
Can't we do something for Roger?
No, Mrs. Marsh, he's dead.
Dead? Oh, no, he can't be.
I'm afraid he is.
Inspector, do you mind if I take my wife downstairs? This isn't very pleasant for her.
Very well, sir. Some officers on the floor below. Wait there.
Thank you.
Ambulance is on its way, sir. And we've cornered a bloke who tried to get out the back way.
Well, that'll be Peter Lloyd, Roger's partner.
All right, Mr. Marsh. I'll be down to talk to you as soon as I can.
Roger fired at Peter Lloyd from the doorway. I couldn't see whether he hit him.
He didn't. His only injuries are a couple of bruises. When he saw the police cars around the back of the club, he tried to break the record for the mile, but unfortunately for him, one of my blokes plays rugby. When he gets the chance. Oh, go on, Mr. Marsh.
Well, Roger was so anxious to stop his partner getting away, he forgot about me for a moment.
And you jumped him?
Yes. We started a wrestling match. I managed to knock the gun out of his hand. Joyce picked it up. Roger got me on the floor and was doing his damnedest to choke me. He'd have succeeded if my wife hadn't used the gun.
I didn't intend to hit Roger. I thought the noise might startle him and that would help Andrew.
Have you ever used a gun before, Mrs. Marsh?
I've had one in my hand. I've never fired one, though.
My wife's referring to a service revolver of mine.
I see. Well, for a beginner, your aim was remarkably good, Mrs. Marsh.
Oh, excuse me, sir.
Yes, Sergeant?
The van's just left for the station, sir.
With Alf Jenkins and Max Freeman on board?
Yes, sir.
What have you done with Peter Lloyd?
Sent him by car, sir. I thought he'd be better kept away from the other two.
Right. Don't go. I've got another job for you.
Inspector?
Yes, Mrs. Marsh?
I only wanted to say I didn't shoot Roger deliberately.
I understand, Mrs. Marsh. All the same, I'll have to ask you to come back to the station with us. You as well, Mr. Marsh.
Well, I'd want to come in any case, Inspector.
Organize transport, will you, Sergeant? And you can go with Mr. and Mrs. Marsh. I'll finish off here.
Yes, sir.
You can spend your time in the car bringing Sergeant Rankin up to date, Mr. Marsh.
I hope he's convinced now that I was framed.
I think he is. There's still the matter of the car you stole from Rodney's. I don't know whether Sergeant Rankin is prepared to forget that.
I'm more concerned about my wife.
Yes, I'm sure you are. I'll have to refer the matter of Roger Sherwin's death to the superintendent. Whether or not we charge Mrs. Marsh is up to him.
When will you be able to tell us?
As soon as the super gets in the morning, I'll be in touch with him.
What time will that be, Inspector?
About 8:30.
The car is waiting, sir.
Right. I'll see you at the station, Mr. Marsh.
Oh, policemen don't go in for comfort, do they?
Perhaps the idea is to discourage regular visitors.
The inspector sends his apologies, Mr. Marsh. He'll be along in a minute. Oh, they've brought you some tea, then.
Yes, thank you.
I've just been talking to Mr. Rodney. He's not going to press charges over the car.
Oh, I'm very grateful to him.
He asked me to remind you that you owe him a fiver.
I'll see he gets it back.
He tipped us off that you'd gone to the Excelsior Club. Did you know that?
No. I didn't tell him I was going there.
Well, you said something about borrowing the fiver to pay for a few drinks in a club. And you'd told him about the Excelsior Club when he wanted to know why you were taking time off.
Oh, yes. I'd forgotten.
He wants you to go and see him, Mr. Marsh.
You say why?
Apparently, he still thinks you'd make a good second-hand car salesman.
Oh, he's an optimist.
You'll go and see him, though.
I'll be there this afternoon, providing we're allowed to leave here before then.
You can leave as soon as you like, Mr. Marsh.
May I go with him, Inspector?
Yes. There may be a charge, Mrs. Marsh. The super won't make a definite decision till he's read the statements you and your husband have made, but if there are proceedings, there'll only be a formality. You've nothing to worry about.
Thank you, Inspector.
Well, we'll be in touch with you in a day or so. And now I dare say you'd like to go home and get some sleep.
You can take your car, Mr. Marsh. We've finished with it. It's still in the station yard. This way, Mrs. Marsh. Stuff's been taken out of the boot, Mr. Marsh.
Good. Are you off home now?
Oh, not yet. We're going to have another session with Alf Jenkins and Max Freeman.
What's going to happen about the two girls, Carol Ransom and Sheila Ramsey?
Well, Ramsey's body hasn't been found yet. But when it is, well, that's one murder we can charge out with. And after what you've told us, we can get the Ransom girl identified. Well, that leaves her and Joey Driscoll with no name against them on a charge sheet. The inspector thinks that if we work on Peter Lloyd, he'll shop the killer and everything will be wrapped up nice and tidy.
Yeah, not so sure.
As I see it, lack of real evidence is the trouble.
Wasn't it my case, was it?
Don't hold that against me, Mr. Marsh.
Andrew, I'm getting cold standing here. Can we go?
Sorry.
It's my fault, Mrs. Marsh. Anyway, don't worry about those girls, Mr. Marsh. Their killer's going to hear the jury find him guilty. I'll promise you that. See you in a couple of days, Mr. Marsh.
Yes. Goodbye, Sergeant.
Bye. Bye, Mr. Marsh.
Something wrong, Joyce?
My key won't open the door.
I'll try mine.
Where have you been?
I had to go round to Randolph Gardens. I couldn't park in the Crescent.
What did you tell Mrs. Stewart when you came home and found I wasn't here?
I didn't tell her anything. I just asked her if she'd seen you. She told me you'd driven off in a car with somebody. Well, lock's all right. Let me see that key.
Why?
Well, there might be something wrong with it.
Oh, here you are. Put the fire on, will you? The flat's like a refrigerator.
Right. Here's a letter from your mother.
Thank you. What are the others?
Electricity bill and a circular. Why did you ask me about Mrs. Stewart?
She stopped me on the stairs. She said you seemed worried about me and she wanted to know if everything was all right.
Who did come for you that day?
Who? Oh, it was that horrible little man.
Alf Jenkins.
I don't know his name. He had a revolver. He made me pack a suitcase and go with him.
Have you put the kettle on?
No.
I'll do it. What's wrong with your mother?
How do you know there's anything wrong?
There usually is when she invests in a fight penny stamp.
As a matter of fact, she isn't very well. She's tried to phone me.
Oh, well, then we've something to be grateful to the Excelsior Club for. They've saved us the cost of a reverse charge call.
She wants me to go down and see her.
I rather thought she might.
I'm going, Andrew.
Naturally.
I'll only stay till Saturday. I'll catch an early train, and if Mr. Rodney's given you your job back, we can go out and celebrate.
When do you want to go to your mother's?
As soon as I've had a bath and packed a case.
I'll go.
Hello, Andrew.
Judy. I didn't expect to see you.
I phoned Sergeant Rankin. He told me you were at home. Is everything all right now?
Yes, thanks.
Who is it, Andrew?
Oh, it's Judy. Judy Randall.
Oh, of course. The erstwhile Margaret Everard.
Judy, this is my wife.
How do you do, Mrs. Marsh?
Andrew, you won't be long, will you? Goodbye, Miss, Randall. Nice to have met you.
My wife's going away for a few days, down to her mother's.
Oh, well, if you're on your own, could we meet this evening?
I don't know, Judy. I'd like to...
Please, but... I want you to tell me everything that's happened.
All right. Where shall I see you?
Victoria, under the clock?
What time?
Well, I'm not sure when I'll be free. Will you be in this afternoon?
Yes.
I'll give you a ring then, about 3 o'clock. Oh, I must dash now. Goodbye, Andrew.
Andrew?
Yes?
You'll have to do some shopping if you want to eat while I'm away. Do you mind?
No. I'll cope with it while you're packing.
It shouldn't have taken you nearly 3 hours.
Oh, well... I'm not as familiar with supermarkets as you are. Have you finished packing?
Of course, I finished ages ago. I've been waiting for you.
Sorry. Joyce, do you know what this is?
Naturally. It's a key.
Yes. The one you tried in the front door. There's nothing wrong with it. The reason it wouldn't open the door is... it's the wrong key.
Then the right one must be in my bag. I made a mistake. Can we go now?
This key doesn't fit any other lock in the flat, either. I tried it before I went out. Where is the lock that it fits, Joyce?
I haven't the remotest idea. Andrew,
sit down,
I'm...
Joyce.
I was going to say, I'm in a hurry.
I know. But I want you to stay and listen to me. If you prefer to stand, that's up to you.
Won't it wait till I come home?
No, it won't.
Very well.
While I was out shopping, I started thinking about this key. How did it come to be in your handbag?
Andrew, it's only a key. I can't see why you're making all this fuss.
I'll tell you then. I had an interesting thought about this key. It occurred to me that it might fit a lock in the Excelsior Club. To be exact, the lock on the door of what Roger called the guest room.
Don't be ridiculous.
Joyce, I've been trying to find the answers to several questions. Questions like, why were Roger and Peter Lloyd surprised to find that door locked? Why was Roger so evasive about some things, yet prepared to go into detailed explanations about others? And why did Peter label him a show-off? If I'm right about the key, then I believe I know the answers to those questions now.
Really?
Roger was evasive because he was preparing a shock for me. Before he sent me to join Joey Driscoll, he was going to tell me the truth about you. You were his other associate. It would have been in keeping with his flair for the dramatic, and it would have justified Peter Lloyd's label of show-off. You didn't know Roger's intentions, so you locked the door from the inside. To keep up the pretense that you were a prisoner, you put the key in your handbag and forgot about it.
Do you know what I think, Andrew? Playing detective has affected your mind.
In one way, I wish you were right, because the alternative is that you killed Roger deliberately.
I killed? You know I did it to save you.
Did you? Or was it to save yourself? You see, I could make out a very good case for murder against you. I can even tell you your motive. It hinges on 2 points that Roger didn't have time to satisfy my curiosity on. Why he wanted my checkbook, and why my car was used for the hit and run. My guess is that I had become an obstacle, am I right?
As I don't know what you're talking about, I can't tell you.
Well, I'll continue guessing then. You knew Roger much better than I thought, didn't you? I'm not saying you were in love with him.
Why not? You're saying other things that are far more absurd.
Because I don't think you could love anyone except yourself.
Thank you.
Roger must have been attracted by you, or would infatuated be a better word, and for some time he'd been buying your affection. Then I lost my job. I no longer went away from home every week. Roger still wanted you, but he wasn't interested in marriage, not even with you, and you wanted his generosity more than ever. But could you continue to enjoy what you each had to offer the other without interference from me? Yes, easily. If I were on the wrong side of a prison wall, between you, you planned Operation Frame-Up.
More guesses.
But if they are correct, I am no longer in doubt about one thing. How they were always able to be one jump ahead of me. You were their fifth column.
Andrew, I'm going. I'll drive myself to the station. You're in my way, Andrew.
I always seem to be in your way, don't I? Don't worry. I won't keep you much longer. You didn't try to stop me doing Rankin's job because you were worried that I'd be thrown out of mine. You were trying to make it easier for the frame-up to succeed. Then, last night, when you heard the police were in the club, you realized the operation was over. But would Roger see that your part in it was kept quiet? Well, there was only one way to make certain that he would. It was in your hand. All you had to do was aim at his back.
Have you finished?
Yes. You were in this with Roger, weren't you?
Would you believe me if I said I wasn't?
No.
Then in the circumstances, I can hardly come home again, can I?
It might be wiser if you didn't. Two people couldn't hope to live happily ever after when one knows the other has committed murder.
Knows? I thought I'd been listening to guesses.
Joyce, it doesn't take me 3 hours to buy half a dozen things in a supermarket. I went to the Excelsior Club. I tried your key in that lock. For God's sake, stop pretending.
All right. So you think you know the truth. I hope you find it pleasant company. Goodbye, Andrew.
Just a minute. You expect me to keep the truth to myself?
Who could you share it with? The police? I don't think so. For one thing, it wouldn't be any use, would it? A husband can't be forced to testify against his wife.
No. But if I gave this key to Rankin and told him I had found it in your handbag and that I had an idea that it might fit the lock in the Excelsior Club, he wouldn't need my testimony. By the time he had finished, he'd be able to prove you murdered Roger without putting me in the witness box.
Are you going to give that key to Rankin?
Do you think I will?
No, I don't. I've lived with you long enough to know the kind of man you are, Andrew. You couldn't sentence your wife to life imprisonment. And that's what you'd be doing if you gave that key to Rankin.
Hello?
Andrew, it's me, Judy.
Hold on a minute. Hello?
Is your wife there, Andrew?
No, she's just left. Oh. Judy, listen, I'm not going to see you tonight.
Why not?
I can't explain now.
Well, you've got to give me some reason.
Well, all right, it might influence a decision I have to make, and I don't want that to happen. I'll ring you in a few days.
And we'll see each other again?
I don't know. It depends.
Depends on what? Andrew, are you still there?
Yes. I suppose it depends on whether my wife is a good judge of character.
Do you think she is?
That's what I have to find out. But she thought I could be persuaded to give up doing Rankin's job. And she was wrong about me then, wasn't she?
I'll be waiting for you to ring, Andrew.
Why, Sergeant Rankin.
Mr. Marsh, is your wife at home?
Aha! And so, the moral and ethics problem is taken out of Andrew Marsh's hands. And Find the Lady by David Ellis draws to a close. I'm Bob Boving, thanking you for listening and inviting your comments. Our coordinating producer is Barry Morgan. The executive producer of The Mystery Project is Bill Howell. See you next week.